cutting fences as they went, going deeper into the heart of the beast, as they would probably say, until they reached the highly enriched uranium manufacturing facility, HEUMF. A fairly new facility built, I believe, finished in 2008, cost slightly under $600 million. That's the new facility where they process and store uranium for today's thermonuclear weapons. They brought their own blood, they brought a hammer or hammers, and spray paint. And they spray painted messages on the building. They poured out their own blood, which is a gesture of their self-sacrifice, and hammered on the building in a gesture of turning swords into plowshares, which for plowshares activists, this is a very deeply spiritual endeavor. So there's a very deep spiritual basis for these actions, coupled with these people's desire to speak publicly and send a strong message that our nation needs to begin to make good faith gestures to bring the world towards zero nuclear weapons. They were finally detected and arrested and processed, and at this point they now have gone through a number of hearings, including the motions hearing yesterday.
They have been charged with some fairly serious felony charges here, including one that carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. Was the severity of the charges contemplated before this action took place? Did they know what they might face in this action?
Well, I will preface this by saying, you know, having not been part of the discernment process and the long planning process that went on for this, I can't say exactly what they discussed and considered, but I do know that in Plowshares actions, that is definitely considered and understood, that they beforehand know the potential consequences, in particular what the prison sentences could be and the fines. So these people are well aware of what they're doing, what they did, and what they will need to go through subsequent to the action.
This happened fairly close to the anniversary of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What are the implications of the current stockpiling and continuing manufacture of nuclear weapons?
The implications are that while the president has made statements, and there has been a lot of rhetoric, very positive statements about reducing the numbers of nuclear weapons in our stockpile and calling on other nations to do the same, the actions of the government have not followed suit. That Y-12 facility is being rebuilt as high as Los Alamos. The Kansas City plant, there's a brand new plant in construction where they make 85% of the non-nuclear parts for nuclear weapons. And the Navy is making plans to build 12 new ballistic missile submarines to replace the current Ohio submarines, the Trident fleet, that carry the Trident ballistic missiles. And that's just part of the story. So the actions of the government in building up the nuclear weapons infrastructure demonstrate a different direction. They are also refurbishing nuclear weapons, which in a sense is making them like new. The warheads being shipped back to the Bangor base here for the Trident missiles to replace the older warheads are basically brand new and somewhat improved warheads. So we are really not moving towards disarmament in a serious way, as the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and other treaties require. So these statements, and this particular one by these Plowshares activists, are a sincere plea for the public to wake up and for the government to wake up. This is not the only thing they have done out there. These are individuals who have tried every other means to get the government's attention through talking with elected officials and letter writing and standing in front of the White House and other things. So a Plowshares action is kind of a last resort where they can then go to court and be on the public record, speak before a judge and a jury, to go on record as to what they consider not just the immorality but the illegality under international humanitarian law of our nuclear weapons policies.